Say the set aside prayer. God, set aside everything I think I know about you, God, the steps, recovery, what's best for me, what's best for others. Especially let go of all my old, help me let go of all my old ideas so I can experience your truth. Help me carry your message tonight. Amen. Okay, I forgot to do this on yesterday, but I have a spiritual advisor, Bruce, in Minnesota, and he sent me this thing that I think you'll get a lot out of. A man in a hot air balloon realized he was lost. He saw a person on the ground and yelled down to him, "Can you help me? I don't know where I am." The man replied, "Sure, I'll help you. You're in a hot air balloon 30 feet above the ground, between 40 and 41 degrees north latitude, and between 59 and 60 degrees west longitude." The guy in the balloon said, "Well, you must be an AA sponsor." "I am," said the man, "but what gave me away?" "Well, everything you told me is technically right, but I'm still lost." "Frankly, you're not much help at all. You might even have delayed my trip." The man said, "You must be an AA sponsee." The man in the balloon was amazed and said, "I am. How did you know?" The man on the ground said, "Well, you don't know where you are or where you're going. You've risen to where you're due to a lot of hot air. You're expecting other people to solve your problems. And the fact is that you're exactly the same position you were in before we met, but somehow now it's my fault." So I thought that would be good. And I think that says it all. So tonight we're on We Agnostics. We have some new people, relatively new in the program. We are on page, 51, and we finished last week with Columbus. If you're new, this chapter, We Agnostics, is put in the book to bridge the first step and how it works. And the first step instructions end on page 43, where it says, "You're screwed. You have no defense against the first drink except from a higher power." They left out the screwed, but I think it would have been more effective, but I'm not going to rewrite the book. And they tell you that, so they're getting you ready to change your mind about a relationship with God, not just belief in God, but a relationship in God that can solve your problems, especially your alcohol problem. And we agnostics is those without knowledge of God. And what that means specifically in AA terms is those people who may believe in God or even pray to God, but have lived their lives without allowing God to work in their life. They've been running the show. So they have no knowledge of God. They have no spiritual awareness or experience with God. And then a lot of times they don't want to hear about God because God hasn't done it for them or whatever. And they're trying to get you to change your mind about the power that can help you. Not just to believe in God, but to understand that there's a power that can solve your problem. Now, why is that important? Because I can't solve my problem. And unless I am really willing to believe that there is a power that can do it for me, I'm not going to seek him. It'll just be lip service. Does that make sense? And so we finished with Columbus last week, who's an example of everything that's required to recover. And he may have even been an alcoholic, but we don't know. Columbus was willing to change. He didn't want to go east. It was too far. It took forever to get to the Indies. He had to go all the way around Africa, Indian Ocean, all the way. It was a long, very dangerous trip. So he was convinced that even though the world map showed that west was the end of the world, for some reason he felt that he could get there. So he was willing to change his mind about something, and he believed that he could do it. So he went to the Queen of England and he asked her to give him ships and men to go. And she did, so he made a decision to go. But he's still in Spain. So then he was an alcoholic, I believe, because he had three ships and he was on the last ship. The first ship, he put the special sailor to see the end of the world so that when they came up, they could turn around and he would be the furthest back. But they made a decision and they took action and they hit land. And when they got there, they knew that they could go west and hit land. Now, they didn't know where they were, but they knew they had hit land. They didn't die. And so he went back to Spain, and then the next time he went, he had knowledge, and he had faith, and he had trust, and he knew where to go. So we have to be willing to change, believe we can change, decide to change, act to change, and then we're changed, and we have a changed relationship with our Creator. So now in the next few pages, they're going to talk about our reasoning, our intellectual reasoning, and how that's killing us. They don't say it that way, but that's what they're going to talk about, and how if we were willing to change our mind about the power of available to us, then we would seek him and we would change the way we lived. It says, we asked ourselves, are not some of us just as biased and unreasonable? Bias means prejudice, unreasonable mean not guided by or based on good sense, about the realm of the spirits, as were the ancients about the realm of the material. And they talk about the newspapers didn't want to print that Kitty Hawk that they flew because people had absolutely predicted that it couldn't happen. And the newspaper reporter from the Charlotte Observer was afraid to print it. He saw it because he, you know, it had been told that it was impossible for us to fly. Had not people said God had reserved this privilege for the birds? And only 30 years later, people were traveling by air. But it's in most fields, our generation has witnessed complete liberation of our thinking. So what he's trying to do, they're trying to do here is to liberate our thinking about God from our old ideas of God, and so that we can experience this power. Show any longshoreman a Sunday supplement describing a proposal to explore the moon by means of a rocket, and he will say, I bet they do it, maybe not so long either. See, I'm old, and I remember I was in the fourth or fifth grade, and we had the little TV that they brought into the classroom, and we watched Alan Shepard go up in space. We all sat there in our little and watched it happen on TV. And then I remember it was 1960. It really bothered me because the Weekly Reader said we were going to go to the moon. Yeah, the Weekly Reader, there you go. And it bothered me. I remember leaving school because I said, well, if we go to the moon, will we still have baseball? You know, will we still have pro football? You know, it seems so dramatic. And I didn't think about it a lot of time, but I remember that thought. And yet, 9 years later, I remember I was in New Hampshire at a summer camp, and on a Sunday night, this guy landed on the moon. And it wasn't amazing that he landed on the moon. It's amazing that they figured out how to do it in prime time. So we could all, at 9 o'clock at night, or nine, so everybody could see it. I mean, think about it. And it was really special. So anyway, there you go, blabbering away tonight. Is not our age characterized by the ease with which we discard old ideas for new? Now, we read how it works today, and we had a brilliant reader, right, John? And John read, unless we let go of our old ideas, absolutely, we're done. And so we have to discard all of our old ideas for new ones. And the first one we have to discard is our idea of our relationship with our Creator, and that we have any control of our life, and that our Creator has total control. It says, so we're easily we could discard old ideas for new. So here they're going to ask you a question. When people come in here, they usually have problems. Is that true for anybody who came in here? So we're going to ask yourself, you come in here, why you shouldn't apply to human problems the same readiness to change your point of view. Now, when you work step four, you realize that all your anger, you're seeing things wrong, right? And all your fears, you're seeing things wrong. And you need to see things differently. But it says, were you having trouble with personal relationships? Some people didn't have any personal relationships anymore when they come in here. Could you control your emotional nature? Anybody have a problem with that? Anybody still do? See, we still have problems with relationships. We still have trouble with their known emotional nature. Anybody miserable when they come in here, depressed? If you weren't, you didn't hit bottom. Misery and depression. Pray to it. Couldn't make a living. Some people still had a job, but most don't. We had a feeling of uselessness. Anybody have that? Full of fear, not just fear, full of it. I think that was the worst thing, just living full of fear all the time. Anybody unhappy when they come in here? And you can't be of real help to other people because you're so involved with yourself. So they're asking, is not a solution to these bedevilments more important than whether we should see newsreels of lunar flight? In other words, we can solve these problems with a change of view towards God. God can change us so we don't have to live like this. This is the unmanageability of the first step in the big book. Our lives are unmanageable. This is what our unmanageable life looks like. Now, if the bedevilments are true for you today, then you need to work the steps. And you'll have some of these problems every day. That's what 10 and 11 is all about. So they're going to follow up on this. Remember, on page 45, it says, lack of power, that's a dilemma. We're going to find a power by which to live, and that power will solve my problem. So my problem will be solved by a higher power. So when you come in here, what is your problem? It didn't say problems, it said problem. Conscious separation from God. Now, how can your higher power treat that? Because you'll have a relationship with that power, and then you won't be separated from it, and that will have a power to live. And if you follow that power's direction and guidance, your life will change. So they're going to ask you a question. This is what you do when you come to AA. You see others solve their problems by a simple reliance upon the spirit of the universe. Now, we read in Working with Others, they said it about 10 times. We have to be dependent upon God and not people or places or things. We can't put anything ahead of God. Anybody agree with that? Now, we do that. And when we do that, that whatever we're focusing on becomes our higher power. If you want to know why your day is bad, think about what you were focusing on in your thinking. Think about what your thoughts were. Chuck C. said, every thought is a prayer. I heard that. I said, oh, what is this? Because I asked him how he prayed. And then I thought about it. It's true, because what you're thinking is what you're focusing on. Are you focusing on God, or are you focusing on self-centered things? Whatever you're focusing on becomes your higher power. Is it the person at work? Is it that you don't have money? Is it whatever it is becomes your higher power? And you see people here solve their problems upon a reliance on the spirit of the universe. And so you have to stop doubting the power of God. Our ideas did not work. My idea did not work. The God idea does. And this is what we're supposed to do for new people or people who are struggling, is be able to show them that my simple reliance upon the universe has changed my life and given me a power to live and a sense of peace and direction. And if you want that, then you'll seek too. Remember, when you come in, why should you believe that AA works? Because you see it working in others. You can't doubt when Stu tells the story that something's happened to Stu. I seem okay tonight. I may not be, but I'm okay. You should have seen me 18 years ago. It was a mess. And it wasn't me. I can't take any credit for it. It was all God. God has done for me what I cannot do for myself. So in the beginning, on page 52, if you're new, change your idea about the power of God. We don't care if you like God. We don't even care who you know, your conception of God, as long as you are willing to believe that there's a power that can help you and solve your problems and that you can rely on, not just lip service. The Wright brothers had childish faith that they could build a machine which would fly was the mainspring of their accomplishment. Without that, nothing could have happened. Now, they don't say it in the big book, but Joe and Charlie taught me this. But it's in the big book, but they don't actually say it this way. The Wright brothers believed they could fly. They were willing to they wanted to fly, right? And they believed they could fly, and then they made a decision to fly. But they would still have been on the ground unless they built the airplane or whatever they built. And then they were able to fly. And then once they did that, they knew they could do it. And once you've come to AA and you've relied upon God and He's changing your life in the way you see things and He's doing for you what you cannot do for yourselves, you rely on that. You know you can go to that. And that's faith. It starts with belief. But you have to be willing to believe. And if you're not willing to believe, then you haven't really taken the first step. Because the first step says you'll be willing to believe in anything that can help you. It says we agnostics and atheists, and I wrote all alcoholics, we're sticking to the idea that self-sufficiency would solve their problems. Wasn't that our problem? Our selfishness and our self-centeredness? Did anybody come in here and have a plan? We all had a plan. But you know, we don't care what the new person's plan is, because that got him a wristband. We want the new person to ask us what AA's plan is, and we need to be able to tell them. That's why we have this type of meeting. When others showed us that God's sufficiency worked, we began to feel like those who had insisted the rights would never fly. So I wrote, let go of my old ideas. Now there are people come here, they don't like me, I talk about God too much. Well, that's okay. Get over it. But you know, the idea is if your way worked, try a new way. And then God in AA is as you understand Him. And it can be anything it says that makes sense to you, as long as it'll work at 3 a.m. Something you can go to. Logic is great stuff. We like to be logical because we're very smart. You know, AA alcoholics are smarter than everybody else. Did you know that? You know who told me that? An alcoholic. That was a joke. We liked it. We still like it. It is not by chance we are given the power to reason, to examine the evidence of our senses, and to draw conclusions. So we like to look at things and reason. And I've heard a lot of people with their mind reasoning about the universe or the creator or things with a mind that they couldn't create. Something created that mind. And they're reasoning with this mind whether there's a creator. I've always thought that's kind of humorous. And it says that's one of man's magnificent attributes, that we reason, we examine things. We agnostically inclined would not feel satisfied with a proposal which does not lend itself to reasonable approach and interpretation. Hence, we are pains to tell why we think our present faith is reasonable. And isn't that what we're supposed to be really telling people? Why about how we established our relationship with God and how it's working in our lives? We think it's more sane and logical to believe than not to believe. We say our former thinking was soft and mushy when we threw up our hands in doubt and said we don't know. Now, Scott said something very powerful. He said he finally realized there's no third door. And so one of the old ideas we have to give up is that we have any way of conquering this disease besides spiritual help and following the spiritual way of life. There's no other way. Now here's a powerful paragraph. It's changed my life. And we use this for the second step proposition exercise on fear. And this is really the one question they ask us in AA that you have to answer. And you answer it all the time. And how you answer it determines how your life is. When we became alcoholics, notice the past tense. When did you become an alcoholic? Do you know the moment? It says when you were crushed by a self-imposed crisis, you could not postpone or evade. And what they're saying here is a lot of people are alcoholics for a long time. And then they come here and then something crushes them. They're crushed by a self-imposed crisis they could not postpone or evade, and they become an alcoholic. They understand they're powerless over alcohol, that their lives are unmanageable. So you have to fearlessly face when you're crushed and you have the self-imposed crisis you cannot postpone or evade. You have to fearlessly face the question that either God is everything or else he is nothing. Now, I know that moment for me when I was completely crushed, I got down on my knees and I asked God to help me. And I still remember that, and I asked God to help me today, because I can be crushed by self-imposed crises now. And I have to go to God all the time. But with that moment of complete defeat, I asked God to help me. So the question is God everything or else he's nothing? So there's no third door here. Now, what are they trying to get at? God either is or he isn't. What is our choice to be? Now, what they're saying here is that if you choose God, then he will become your director and you will focus on God. If you choose yourself, you'll focus on yourself and your self-centered thoughts. And God is either the center of your thinking or not. So all day long, when you're thinking about yourself or self-centered things, God's not in your life. He's not working in your mind right then. So you're going to ask yourself this question all the time. Now, why does this have to do with fear? Why do I get fear? Because I'm relying on self for whatever, to fix whatever I'm afraid of. And if I rely on self to fix whatever I'm afraid of, then God isn't the center of my world. And if I'm focused on God, then my fears go away. Either I'm relying on God or I'm relying on Michael all day long. Now they're telling you now that you want to focus on God as everything. Can God do everything for you? Now remember in the third step, everybody likes the third step? Anybody ever read the third step? No? Nobody's read it? All right, everybody's asleep. The third step, it says, if God is our director, we have a new employer. We work for God. Now, if you work for God, it says in the big book, God will give you everything you need. Everything. And all you have to do is stay close to him and do his work well. So if you stay close to God and do his work well, which is the process of working the steps in 10 and 11, you'll get everything you need. You'll be able to handle calamity with serenity. You'll know peace. All the promises will come true. So this question in the beginning, you have to ask yourself, is God either is or he's everything or nothing? And if he's everything, then you want him to be everything to you, right? And so it's an important question. A lot of people come in, don't understand that they have to completely give up on themselves. Arrived at this point, we were squarely confronted with a question of faith. We couldn't duck the issue. So here's what we have when we come in here. We have a bridge from, we're on the shore of reason. We've got this intellectual mind that got us here, right? Our thinking, what we thought about everything, all of our old ideas. And we see in, over there the shore of faith, a different world. And there's a bridge. And the bridge is the steps. Steps 1 and 2, you're on the shore. Step 3, you decide that you're going to leave and you're going to go across the bridge. And then when you're in step 10 and 11, you're in the world of the Spirit. You're in the shore of faith. And it says, the outlines and promise of the new land had brought luster to tired eyes and fresh courage to flagging spirits. Friendly hands had stretched out and welcomed. So you come in here, you start doing the work, and you can see the shore of faith. You can see how it's working in other people. You can see these hands reaching out, encouraging to do this. Friendly hands had stretched out. We were grateful that reason had brought us so far, but here's why people don't make it. They couldn't quite step ashore. They couldn't quite give up on themselves. They couldn't quite give up on their reasoning. They couldn't give everything that God is everything and I'm nothing. They couldn't get the humility of answering that question to understand that without God they're lost. and it says, perhaps we've been leaning too heavily on reason that last mile, and we did not like to lose our support. So I don't know about you, but I want to walk across that bridge, and I want to stay on the shore of faith. So how do I stay on the shore of faith? I keep doing the work. Now, you could be sober, and you get on the shore of faith, but there's another bridge that drags you back across to the other side. The more you're thinking and the more you're separated from God, you're being pulled around and you're back on the other side. I'm just going to read one more paragraph. That was natural, but let's think more closely. Without knowing it, have we not brought to where we were stood by a certain kind of faith? So you're standing and you're not in the shore of faith, right? You're standing on the side of reason. So it says, how'd you get there? Well, it says, did I not believe in my own reasoning? I believed everything I thought. Anybody else do that? And I thought I was right. Did I have confidence in my ability to think? Of course I did. And everything I knew was true, right? Even though I was wrong about everything. What was that but a sort of faith? You see, we've been faithful, abjectly faithful to the God of reason. So you see how they tie all this together? Either you're faithful in yourself, in your reasoning, or you're faithful in God. You can't have one or the other. And when you get back into your reasoning as your God, you're in trouble. Because remember what your basic trouble is? S-H-I-T, remember? Simply how I think. My thinking was killing me. And when I get back in, and I'm faithful to my thinker, whatever it is, then I'm in trouble. We found too that, oh, I'm going to read two paragraphs, don't yell at me. We found too that we had been worshipers. See, we were worshiping things. People don't want to worship God or turn their life over to God, but they were worshiping. We had a state of mental goose flesh that used to bring on. We worship people, sentiments, things, money, and ourselves. You see, what were we worshiping? We were separating from God. God's inside of us. We're going to read that on the next page next week. We had blocked God out by worshiping our thinking, our people, sentiment, things, money, and ourselves. And so we had faith in that. Anybody believe that? Well, we came in, and what did it do? It caused us to have an unmanageable life, and then we needed to have something in our system to treat that. Now, normal people have that too, but they're not alcoholics or addicts, so they're just miserable. We were miserable, and then we could die from our disease, our using, and our drinking. And so we have a power now to not be miserable and live a different way. And that's why God gave us these steps, because he knew we would be desperate enough to do it. He wants these principles for everybody. But in the beginning, why did he give the 12 steps to alcoholics? Because he knew we would be desperate enough to do it. And so I think we're really lucky in a way that we've been given these spiritual principles in our lives. So I'm going to stop there on page 54, make sure I don't review too much next week. I hope this was helpful. Every time I read this, it reminds me, am I choosing God or am I choosing me? What am I choosing at the moment? Thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
Golden alcoholic.
What's today? November.
Dr. Mike, thank you very much. The first time that I heard you expound
upon
the second
doing?
Step proposition, which is reminding me of, it says, God either is or we are. What is our choice to be? I can remember